Why is this not shocking?
Let us pray.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but when I was in high school and college, I worked at the A&P, and Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company. Thank you. And it was a supermarket. I guess it was mostly in the Northeast. And yeah, okay. So yeah. So my father was a butcher. He worked for them, and that's how I got the job. But I started out as a cashier, so, you know, one of the checkers, and our store actually had the computer, but not the scanning kind, the kind where, you know, you could do this. I would go and work in the old stores that had, remember those old registers? You had to push them really hard and then slam the, right. So there was all, you had to learn all about the different rules, the different laws as far as what's considered, you know, it's easy, meat, produce, grocery, all that stuff. But then you start to get into the tricky stuff, right? What's taxable, non-food stampable? What's taxable, food stampable? What's, I mean, you just get into crazy things. And especially when it came to drugs, each state is different. So, for example, saline solution in New York was considered not taxable, because it's something you could put in your eyes. Or things like soda was definitely taxable. Did you know that anything that said cocktail, juice, cocktail, taxable? If it said juice, not taxable. So you had to learn all these things. Now they just scan it and it's all done for you. But back then you had to learn all these things. So they would have a person that would come through every now and then. Have you ever heard of these? They're secret shopper. I saw that. Yeah. Anybody here? Secret shopper. Used to be one. Okay. So you know the things that you would be looking for. Number one, was everything rung up accurately? Number two, if they asked you, where can I find toothpicks, was always the one that nobody could ever find. Where's the toothpicks? You know, that you could put them down the right aisle or send somebody to run and get it for them. That you knew A&P used to have the coffee and the grinding machines were on the back of the register. That you understood, based on the type of coffee maker somebody had, how to properly grind the beans. So you would ask them, because sometimes they didn't know drip, percolate, whatever. So you had to ask them those questions. Extra fine, all those types of things. And you had to do this accurately with a smile on your face, even, you know, when they were giving you a difficult time. And you would never know who that mystery shopper was. You know, you would think it might be the person that was giving you a hard time, but it might not be. So then all of a sudden they call you up to the office, probably about 5 days later, and say, we want to give you the review on the mystery shopper. I was like, really? When? Especially the first time, I was like, I never even heard of such a thing. Why didn't you guys tell us that? You know, and it was just really, really funny that later on, we would find out that it was the mystery shopper. And they would never, ever tell you who that mystery shopper was. Because that mystery shopper might show up again and again and again. And one of the things was, it could be a friend, your friend's mother, could be your friend's father. And they also want to make sure that you're not letting things go through. I found out years later that it was my girlfriend's mother who was the secret shopper. Had no idea whatsoever. But you know that first reaction when you're like, really? When? When did that happen? And who is that person? I certainly didn't see that person. Now, how many of you ever watched the television show, I think it's Boss Undercover? Yes. Is that it? Boss Undercover Boss? Okay. Now, we know who the boss is, right? And that's actually a pretty funny show to watch. Of course, unless you're the employee. Then it's not so funny now, is it? And we find out that there's basically two types of people, right? Those who act one way. Oh, for those of you who don't know what the show is about, it's about like a CEO of a company who will disguise himself, go in as usually a trainee, somebody who's newly employed, and someone who's working there already is going to show them and train them and show them the ropes on how to do things, right? So you can only imagine what that must be like as the boss is listening to some of the things that the employee is saying. You see, the employee has no idea that this is the CEO of the company that they're training. So there are two types of people I think we saw over the years of this show being on. Those who act one way when the manager is around and watching, right? So the boss is with them and there's the manager of the store, right? And then they act a different way when the manager is not present. Now, keep in mind, the CEO is seeing all of this stuff going on, and the employee has no idea who that trainee is. You see, that employee who acts two different ways is focused on making sure that the boss knows, or I'm sorry, the manager, right, knows that they're really, really doing a good job. They want to score points. They want to make sure they're getting their raise. They want to make sure they're getting what's due. But then when the manager's not around, they'll just kind of let things slide, so to speak. Because, hey, who cares when the manager's not around? But the boss, the CEO, sees everything that's going on. Then there are those who act one way, whether the manager is there or the manager is not there. And the boss in disguise, the CEO, sees that also. There are those who are kind and compassionate and helpful and courteous to everyone, no matter who is looking. Now, the fun part comes later in the show. You see, we are in on the secret. We know who the undercover boss is. So we can almost say the fun comes later on in the show when the employee is called into a room and there sitting before them is the CEO. Only this time, they don't have their disguise on. Now, some of the employees recognize this person, but others don't recognize until they said, really? Until he says, you know, you didn't treat this person well. You didn't treat, what? What are you talking about? Huh? Really? Me? What are you talking about? And then it's revealed who this person is. How about the person who's been doing what's considered the right thing all along, and it's revealed. But what do they say also? Really? Huh? I didn't know that. But of course that's the way I would be. That's kind of like how this parable is today. You see, the people of the nations in this parable are standing before the king. Some go off to the right and some go off to the left. But the king says to both of these groups, I was hungry and you gave me. I was thirsty and you gave me. I was homeless and you gave me. I was shivering and you gave me. I was sick and you gave me. I was in prison and you gave me. But it's the next word that separated them. And that word is no. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was shivering and you gave me clothing. I was shivering and you gave me no clothing. What is priceless really is the reaction. Because you know something? They both react the same exact way. They're totally surprised. They say, really? I did? When did I do that? Both groups say the same thing. Those that did and those that had the no in there. Really? When? When did I do that? It's almost like, huh? And then here the king says, it was me. I was the one who was hungry, I was the one who was thirsty. I was. When you see that, you see me. So it's really not that their action, it's not that their actions that take us by surprise in this. It's the reveal, just like the boss, that takes them by surprise. That Jesus was present among them the entire time, and they didn't realize it. That's the surprise of this parable. We want to interpret this as who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. This is about the revelation of Jesus today among us and here. You see, this parable reveals to us the places in which Christ is present on this very day. Christ revealed in the one who is hungry, the one who is thirsty, the one who is homeless, the one who is sick, the one who is in bondage and oppressed. That's the surprise of this parable. And you see, there's that group that says, man, if I had known that, I totally would have acted differently. But we know that. We know that. And sometimes, you know something, we forget that. The beginning of Matthew's gospel is about the Beatitudes. We did this last January and we did this last week. The very first thing Matthew talks about is what Jesus does as his very first act, and that is to gather the disciples. And he preaches to them and teaches them with the sermon, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And we heard the, this is who you are. Blessed are those. Arise and walk forth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light for the world. Now we're at the last teaching where Jesus tells us where we will find him in the in-between state that we're living in right now, between the resurrection and the ascension and the second coming. Here's where you're going to find me. I looked back on unique times, not realizing myself that I saw the face of Christ, whether I acted or I did my no action, whether I fed or I did not feed, whether I clothed or I did not clothe. Now, there are obvious times. Carl and I were walking off the beach one time, and there was a woman, and I saw her. I saw her, and you know when you can see someone who is in need, potentially, and she stepped forward and she said, I'm hungry. Do you have anything? And we had had granola bars. We had, you know, power bars, and I reached into my bag, and I handed her three power bars and said, here you go. Blessings to you. Carl and I love to go to Second Street Bistro in Fort Pierce, if you haven't been there, wonderful restaurant. And I saw, as we were driving down the street, a woman who was walking through the parking lot. And you know when you know? And I said to Carl, could you get some money out? And he's like, why? I said, just get some money out. And this woman walked past all other people that were walking towards them, and she walked right up to me and said, do you have anything? I'm hungry. Do you have money? And I handed her the money. You know, you can pick that out sometimes. You see the face of Christ in the other. But I'm going to tell you something. There are times when I look the other way. And for that, I'm not proud. But I will admit, there are times that I look the other way. There are times that I'm at the stoplight and I see the person and I avert their gaze. I'm a work in progress, just like all of us. I failed to see Christ in that face, in that body, in that person. There are times I'm like, really, Lord, can it be somebody else? I'm tired. And I hear the Lord say, no. You need to see my face in this person. There was one time We were with our kids, and we were up in the Smoky Mountains, and we were right at the state line. There's a between North Carolina and Tennessee, or was it North Carolina and South Carolina, or Tennessee and North Carolina? I don't know what it is, but it's a beautiful, beautiful area. It's the state line area, and we went up to watch the sunset, which was absolutely magnificent. I'm like, oh my gosh, if God isn't in this place, I don't know where God is. Right, looking at this, absolutely gorgeous. It's in October. It is cold when that sun sets. And I had on my new sweatshirt that I got from Luther Seminary. And I love this sweatshirt. I absolutely love this sweatshirt. Carl's smiling because he remembers this. And there was a bicycle rider that we saw coming up the road, up the mountain. As we were going up, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know how this guy is doing it. He has shorts on, he has a t-shirt on, and he gets to the top because he wants to see that sunset also. But he's really perspiring, sweating. And so it's getting cold and the wind is whipping up. And he starts to get chilly and I see him shivering. And I go over and I say, what a beautiful sunset. And he said, yes, I wanted to see this and I wanted to ride up. And he said, but you know, I didn't think about the ride down. And he said, and I'm really, 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 I mean, I'll be fine, but I'm just cold. And I said, well, blessings to you. And I went and sat in the car. And then I got out of the car, took off my sweatshirt, and gave it to the man. And Carl said to me, what are you doing? I'm like, this man is freezing, and he's got to get down that mountain. I didn't realize that I was looking at the face of God. You see, I was so busy, focused on that sunset, that I didn't realize that this man in need, right there in front of me, was the face of God. I was looking for it in the beauty, not in the need. And this man said, oh my gosh, thank you so much. This sweatshirt will be at the little restaurant down at the end. When you get down the mountain, there's a restaurant on the left-hand side. We're going into Gatlinburg. He said, I will leave it there for you. And I said, okay, don't worry about it. You know, I'm like thinking, Carl's like, you're not going to see that sweatshirt again. And I was like, that's okay. I'm like, that's okay. I can get another one. You know, it was like, I can get another one. So the next day, or was it that night, I think it was, we go down the mountain. It was the next day. We go down the mountain, and we see the man with the sweatshirt on, and, you know, he's warmer. Let's put it that way. We honk. He waves. The next day, we're like, let's just stop and see. And there it was. And there it was. And I realized that in that man was the face of God. So I'm looking for it in the beauty and in nature, etc. But right there, the person who was in need. And we're not talking a huge need. We're talking a need. I saw the face of God. It's almost like, why didn't I see it when it was happening? Always after. You know, there are times when we can't see it. And especially times in our lives right now. These are tough times that we're living in. There's abuse, oppression, hunger all around. And our natural reaction is to curve in and to protect. And there are times that we want to say, really, Lord? When are you coming again? I need you here. We hear today that God's saying, I'm right here. I am right here. I am right here among you. You know, this morning we were just fed and nourished by the body of Christ in this place. And now we are given once again that promise, that opportunity to leave here fed and nourished and to go out and see the body of Christ out there in the world. We don't bring Christ to people. We meet Christ in the other. We need to see that. Our God is a God who suffers for us. Our God is a God who suffers with us. Our God is a God who reveals God's self in suffering. So perhaps the answer to really when is really now. now the reign of God breaks forth. And we are called to name it, to see it, to participate in it. Not for the sake of when to get us to a place, but for the sake of now. Because we are children of the risen Lord, and eternity begins today. And God's presence is breaking through today. What we need to do is see it, name it, and participate in it. Now? Yes. Then? Yes. Ago? Yes. Let's go out there and make sure that we see Christ in the presence of the one we would least expect, especially the one that may be called the enemy. Amen.